Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any podcast app you are using, and of course
YouTube.com/postwrestling. Hello, YouTube room. Hello, postmarks.
Hello, NXT friends.
Friends!
It's Tuesday night. Braden and Davey are here to chat about some NXT because we're on the road to a battleground.
Road to battleground. It's my favorite road.
NXT Battleground. Yeah. Did we sing Love? I think we went through all the love songs.
Love is a battleground.
They did it last year or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
is a battleground.
Love
even
is
though
a
it's battlefield.
Field. Yeah. Right, yeah.
Close
NXT
enough.
NXT Battle Day. Yeah.
What?
What else have they had? Yeah, they're just picking up all the old names, right?
What was there WWE Battleground? What was Battleground before NXT?
It wasn't Battleground where you had the Rhodes Brothers Shield? Wasn't that a Battleground?
Yeah, the WWE main roster. Yeah, the bad times.
Was the Shield Triple Threat? Wasn't that a Battleground?
Battleground.
Yeah, BC pay-per-view.
Yeah, and they're going to be battling in the UFC Apex in just a few weeks. We will be going live right after NXT Battleground. I believe it's on a Sunday night in just a mere 2 weeks away. So catch us on this very feed live after that show.
Yeah, we've had a kind of a quiet weekend, the one just gone, but it's all amping up. We've got two shows next week with King of the Ring, King and Queen of the Ring, sorry.
That's right.
And, Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, following week's Battleground.
So, yeah, we just did a show on Sunday. Check out Poison Rana in your podcast app or poisonrana.ca for all the links of stuff we do, because we went live on Sunday and chatted about some previews and predictions for King and Queen of the Ring and for Double or Nothing, and then some chat about Vince McMahon, some AEW chat, main roster stuff, everything going on in the world of wrestling. We covered it and gave a little preview and predictions for the upcoming week. So because there's so much wrestling going on the weekends, we won't go live on Sunday, but here next week on Tuesday, before we chat about some NXT, we'll give some thoughts on both the WWE King and Queen of the Ring and Double or Nothing.
Yes, absolutely.
So next week up next, it's going to be packed.
Yes.
So join us live here on the YouTube right after NXT and hear our thoughts on the whole weekend of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate all the love and support.
Absolutely.
When we do talk about some wrestling, and we're going to talk about some NXT, but first, how are you?
What's I'm all right. On? Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah. Was away last week. Thank you for covering yourself and Cino, holding down
the fort.
This might be one of the first, last week might be one of the first NXTs I haven't actually watched.
You didn't watch last week?
No, I kind of came back. I had a bit of a nightmare getting home, and I've been like right back at work, so I haven't actually had a chance to catch up.
For those not following the, I guess, X or Twitter saga of you versus Flair Airlines,
woo!
I guess that was your first fault. Their name was Flair.
It was, yeah. I did make the right choice of buying the insurance. So, long story short, I went to BC last week, had a great time, was meant to come back Wednesday night. And my flight was delayed 12 hours. And they said, don't worry, just get yourself a hotel. We'll reimburse you. Get yourself a meal, we'll reimburse you. So my insurance already covered the trip. So I already had that, like, refunded.
Yeah.
But I could have just stayed in the airport or got a cheaper hotel. But they said up to $250. So, and I had it in email as well. So booked hotel. And then I submit my receipts, as I'm told to do, and they're like, nah, sorry. Why? Safety. It was safety, so we won't be refunding. I was like, what do you mean? Like, wow. Surely you knew when you delayed by 12 hours that was the case. Kept on getting generic copy and paste emails back, and was like, no. I want to know why you said this. Why did you send me this email? And I'm like, if it's safety concerns, show me. I was like, your word is unreliable. Show me proof that there was safety concerns with this aircraft.
And then they stopped replying to you?
So, well, then yesterday morning, and it's funny, if you listen to our last episode of Behind the BDE, we were talking about scams.
Oh, yeah.
I get a tweet because I hit up social media because I knew the lovely Post Wrestling Network would help me out. They were like, yeah, hit us up. We'll sort it out. So I do. And we're going through and they're asking about my flight and all that. And they say they're going to reimburse me and everything. I'm like, cool. They're like, download this app.
Sus.
And then they're like, put this amount in this box. And then I'm seeing below it, it's like converting to some like African currency. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just hang up and call you back.
Good call.
Yeah. And then since then I've been having on my Twitter just so many
bots,
like scam accounts trying to get it. But I think we're good. Flair kind of went a little quiet on me today after saying yesterday that they will reimburse me now.
Right.
So, but I'll give them time. They got to get their money together to pay me.
Flair.
Pay the big guy back. But yeah, it was kind of a bit of a shit show, but it's been busy. I ended up going like straight back to work. So yeah, I didn't actually catch up on NXT. I'm a completist, Braden. I haven't missed an episode since 2013, 2012.
I can't say it was like the most memorable one.
I don't care. I sat through 2.0. I made it through.
It felt like a 2.0.
Watching 2.0 at 3 a.m. in the UK and then recording with you at 5 a.m. If I can make it through that,
yeah.
I should have. I'm bad. I let you all down.
It's okay. Sino is here, as Sino is always here, because on the Poison Rana feed, you can hear Shot in the Dark with Sino 15 minutes or less in a podcast form. Lets you know of all the other wrestling and thoughts on Ring of Honor, Women of Wrestling, Impact, everything that you may or may not watch. He'll talk about it and fill you in so you can be a completist too without watching. So check out that show on our feed, as well as a What Up Doe and Eagles Don't Hunt Flies was dropped, featuring Martin Bushby, Brandon from New Jersey, and Dickie Bird chatting about John Moxley in Japan. So check out that Moxley mixtape podcast. And then I just dropped a detox for when you need to check out of reality. You have Jordan Goodman and myself chatting about goth dating apps, Shrek. Jordan finally watched Star Wars, so we talk about his love for Jar Jar Binks. And
He did that order?
We'll have to listen to the show.
I guess so.
Yeah, and then also Dr. Pepper with pickles in it.
What?
Yep, it's a real thing. America. So listen to us chat all about that. Search Poison Rana in your podcast app. And while we're plugging shows, we have some great shows on our Patreon. Because it's King of the Ring, we put it to you, our Poison Rana pals, with a tadpole on the Facebook group, and you voted for King of the Ring 1998. It was a pretty... We kind of figured that one would get voted first, so...
You're so predictable, guys.
Mankind, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, and then I don't even know what else is on that card, but it doesn't really matter.
Kane and Austin.
Oh,
first
right.
Blood.
Oh, that's a crazy pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That's the Cell wasn't the main event. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Wow. So we're going to be reviewing that over on the Patreon. And then just last week...
get your feedback in. We'll be talking about this tomorrow, releasing on Friday, I believe. So get all your feedback in. I know you will have something to say about this show.
Yes, the infamous Cell match, that one, and all the other King of the Ring shenanigans. So we'll be doing that retro reviews from the six on the Patreon. But it's archaeology week,
as
it really technically is, according to Google and some websites. So we inadvertently put two movie reviews out on the Patreon. I was joined by Scrump to talk about the 25th anniversary of Brendan Fraser in The Mummy. That was a fun review. And then to keep it digging, we had Mahmood, our world champ family member, picked Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
Indy and his dad, James Bond, hanging out and looking for the Holy Grail. And it's a banger of a movie. Two bangers, back-to-back movie reviews for you right there.
Why did the archaeologist go bankrupt?
Oh, no. Because he doesn't have any bones.
Because his career was in ruins.
Mine was funnier with the because the of the time. Context. Yes.
Long-term storytelling.
When's Shark Week?
Shark Week's in July, right?
I like other... We need to celebrate other weeks here and months.
Yeah, we had Moth Week, didn't we?
Moth Week.
Yeah, what's your favorite week, guys?
Yeah,
what should we celebrate?
But there you go. We have lots and lots of podcasts chatting about wrestling, movies, and everything. It's only $5 to become a friend at our patreon.com/poisonrana. So support your boys and check us out.
Isn't it crazy, though, that like archaeologists and sharks get a whole week, but your mom only gets one day?
One day of Mother's Day?
Yeah.
One Father's Day? Yeah. I mean, there is like months dedicated to other things. Like, I don't know what this month would be, but... there's always stuff.
Yeah.
There's always, every day is like, you know, cookie day, or and then the next day is like, oh, happy chicken day, or Valentine's Day.
How
or,
was your chicken day this year?
Well, we had some chicken right now.
We did. It was good chicken.
It is summertime officially.
Yes, like, I'm wearing my Up Next Summer retro t-shirt.
It's like hot. I went outside not in shorts, and I just went, back inside, shorts on, sleeves up.
It's humid here. Like, it gets really sticky in the six.
Sticky in the six. Yeah. That's the next event name, though.
Sticky in the six.
Yeah, tell Wade to change the name for the event. Sticky in the six is what it is, because, yeah, it was really hot. I fixed up my bike. I went biking today, lubed it up, and then... barbecued on a roof. It was just like pure. I got a tan. Like I'm ready.
I bought sunscreen today.
Don't burn. I burned up doing a show just last 2 weeks ago with you.
Yeah.
And like got almost pretty bad just from sitting outside for like an hour. So now I put on sunscreen today because it was that hot. But I'm in all summer mode now. I'm ready.
Listen to Baz Luhrmann. Wear sunscreen.
Did he die from
the sunscreen song?
Oh,
come on.
I don't know it.
You know it.
I know it.
We've done this bit every summer.
Wear sunscreen. But for reminders of people in Toronto, if you are thinking of coming to Toronto in the city to get sticky in the six this summer for Money in the Bank, follow this space because sooner rather than later, we shall be announcing something.
Yes.
Very important. Very big. Very fun. Very funny. It's going to be good. So follow this space. Follow Post Wrestling.
Exactly. And if you are in the city on June 15th, Clash at the Castle, we will be doing a little event at Gabby's, 309 King Street West. We'll be doing a watch party. We'll be releasing all the information on that tomorrow, poisonrana.ca. I kind of like these daytime shows, I've got to admit.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's like you can watch wrestling.
So come, whilst you're sticky in the six, come inside, enjoy some AC.
It works
and
better.
Watch the event.
Yeah.
And enjoy your evening.
I'd say they should do them in the winter, so because we're inside during the days. Mm. Like you're inside all the time. But in the summer, it's like maybe during the days you want to be outside, and then at night you kind of cool down and watch the show. So maybe, and this weekend's perfect because we got Double or Nothing the Sunday. So we're going to have a weekend full of wrestling. But if you are in Toronto, June 15th, Clash at the Castle, during the day, come to Gabby's, hang out with us, order some chicken wings, and maybe we'll watch CM Punk in action. Maybe.
Maybe.
Not
maybe.
Confirmed or denied yet, but yes. Possibly. And then on top of it, hell, while we're at it, plugging Toronto things, because we did on Sunday and someone was like, that sounds great. I'll see you guys there. So... catch us on Thursday at Demand Lucha because it's an extreme lucha block party because ECW invades Demand Lucha as we're seeing some of our locals, Seraphis taking on ECW legend Rhino. We got Gringo Loco taking on Lince Dorado, Jack Cartwheel versus Alex Shelley, and Super Crazy and Tommy Dreamer versus Los Medicos. If you're in the Toronto area, Parkdale is where it's at with when it comes to wrestling, and they know how to party, and we'll be there on Thursday, and we'll be there at the next one and the next one. I'm pretty sure they got Machine Guns announced for their next show as well in Toronto in the summer. So this is always a blast, and check out at Demand Lucha on Twitter or X and Demand Lucha for tickets and luchamarket.com. So we'll be there and never... be afraid to say hello. Sometimes people are like, I love listening to you guys and I'm nervous to say hello. Don't be. Please,
no, do
come
be.
Up.
We're intimidating.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
We're probably like half out the bag.
Yeah. That's why we're intimidating.
They're incoherent. I can't talk to them like yeah. this. We'll see you there. We're going to get crazy. I want to smoke up with Super Crazy. Someone needs to make it happen. So we're going to have fun. Anything else going on?
I caught a bit of Raw last night.
Nice.
The, you know, King of the Ring advancing. We now know one of the finalists will be Gunther and Lyra Valkyria in a bit of an upset against Io. I kind of expect Randy to be the opponent for Gunther, which feels kind of fresh. Yeah. Like weird watching those Walter matches like all those years ago and thinking he'll be mixing up with Randy Orton.
True.
That could be good. I can totally see him targeting that back with the chops and stuff. But the main thing I liked from Raw yesterday was what they're doing with Bron Breakker, who wasn't put in the tournament and is now just pissed off and killing everyone and was just running roughshod on Raw, just murdered the guy from Level Up, the enhancement guy. I showed you the spoiler before this, just killing him. But also taking out Ricochet later in the show. So I kind of thought they're doing a good job of introducing some of these new characters, you know, like having Ilya and Lyra advancing quite far in the tournament, Gunther just murdering people. I kind of like what they've been doing.
I think it's a smart way because he wasn't in that tournament because they clearly didn't want him to lose like the Ilya situation. So instead they're having the storyline be like, hey, why wasn't I?
Now he kills everyone.
We've been praising him for a while in NXT, and now that more eyes are on him, I can only see him becoming one of the biggest stars for WWE. In the next year or two, he should be like champion. He's on track to be one of their guys. Like, if not one of the guys going forward, so definitely excited to see him. And he's definitely just progressed so much. And the same with a bunch of these NXT people that are like sliding into main roster roles. It's always funny because we'll sing people's praises and then it won't be till main roster till people still finally like start to like pick up on them. Like,
well, in the last few years, it's been years after being on the main roster when they're finally treated with some respect and they go, oh, this guy's pretty good.
Oh, wow. They're good wrestlers.
We thought so 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So the same could be said now. Like, when Lola Vice finally goes on the main roster and shakes her ass, everyone's gonna be like, who is this? And put the rocket right on her. She should be the champ. Watch, you'll see. They'll say it. They'll all say it. Should we just jump into NXT then?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about some NXT from Tuesday, May 21st, 2024, from the PC down in Florida. And we start off with a recap of last week. We have Tony D, our new Heritage Cup champion. I'm sorry, the Brit lost it to an Italian.
No.
And it's coming home.
That ain't happening to the Euros this year. Not again. Not again.
We'll see. Yeah. It's not coming home for the quarter
catch
group.
We're the favorites this year, yeah.
England's the favorite? Yeah. Wow, okay. Nice. Maybe it'll come home.
Maybe.
But we kick things off with a qualifying match for NXT Battleground, the ladder match for the new North American Women's Championship. Thea Hale taking on Fallon Henley. Fallon recently turning heel on Thea. Basically, she was tired of being friends with everybody and helping everybody and said, why not just do things myself? So it sets up this match. There's a good back and forth. There's a nice head scissors from Thea early on. Fallon gets like a chair ringside. And because Chase U were there, Ridge is kind of joined Chase U, kind of. And grabs the chair from Fallon, but the ref sees it and says, oh no, Ridge's got a chair. The monster, the guy, the scary guy, get out of here. You're all ejected. So Chase U has to be sent to the back. So it's just a one-on-one. When we come back from break, Thea fights back with a jumping neck breaker, kind of like the moonlight drive for a near fall. There's then Fallon hits that, like, that suplex out of the corner that, like, then she suplexes you. I don't even know how to describe that move. But she goes for that, but it's blocked into the Kimura, and she starts to freak out and gets out of the ring, but Thea puts the Kimura in still, so she runs at the like the guardrail into the barricade and then runs back into the ring. Thea chases her, but when Thea gets up, she's welcomed with the Shining Wizard, and Fallon Henley is top shelf and is headed to Battleground.
Yeah, I quite like this match. I thought both worked well together. They're two of the better women's wrestlers in the division. Thea's definitely just shown so much improvement, especially considering how young she is. I like how she locks in that Kimura kind of out of nowhere, which you don't often see with submissions, but she has been getting good at like locking that in from different positions. I would have Fallon Henley go all the way. Still getting used to seeing her as a heel, but I think she is taking to it pretty well. And I think she should be one of the top women in this division. So I think she's a good person that you could have hold this title to start with while you have baby faces who are getting popular chaser for it.
Yeah, we've been loving Fallon, and she's been in this babyface role where she's been in like a valet role and then a tag team partner role and then almost like a vet role when she's really never had time to shine. So the character change does make sense.
Yeah.
It's pretty literal of what's been happening. So I do hope she wins it as well because it makes the most sense. So poor Thea, though. It could have been good for her to also be in the match, but
yeah.
Too bad there for Thea. We see Tony D.
Well, after the match, you have Jasmine Nix.
Oh, right.
Who
sorry.
Comes and attacks Thea with the Pele.
Yes, right after Jasmine attacks her and then kind of shrugs off. So that's continuing that story.
So yeah, Jasmine was one of JC Jane's like friends, was hanging out with her. Obviously, yeah. JC's got a shattered nose at the moment. Ugh. So she's off injured. So it's just continuing the kind of that story going on with Thea and Jasmine.
I agree, though. Like, Thea and Fallon are two of the top, like, better wrestlers in this division for sure. So, but I think Fallon should win the whole thing. We see Tony D and the family earlier today arriving. Tony's got his cup, and he's very excited and happy. When they bump into the tag champs, Axiom and A-Kid, and they say, like, oh, nice cup. And Frazier says, I remember when I won the cup. And he's like, oh. Is it Axiom who says that?
It's Axiom doing the joke, because it was when he was...
So,
A-Kid, right.
Did they steal my joke here? Because he goes, is your name on it? Yeah, it's over here. And he goes, no, it says a kid won it. Mm.
I don't think you're the first person who ever made that joke.
Brilliant stuff. Just amazing stuff. So basically, they're still playing along like, oh yeah, a kid.
Yeah.
Like a kid won the cup. So don't be that excited because anyone can do it. And then they mention, hey, like, why don't you give us a title shot? The family needs more gold. So Stax and Luca kind of challenge them. And they say, sure, how about tonight? And that match is next.
Yes.
So, yeah, more gold to the family, perhaps.
Mm. We haven't seen Tony Spaghetti out the cup yet. Unless, did he do it after we won it?
No, that would be pretty great, yeah. That would be
like
pretty smart.
Like in the restaurant, just...
It would suck to clean out of, like, afterwards. But, like, you know, people drink out of the Stanley Cup and Grammys and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not bad. Just full of gravy.
People have done things with title belts as well. Like,
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about. We have a recap of Joe Coffey and Gallus last week when they attacked poor biking raider Ivar, and he's done. So he's legit injured, apparently.
Yeah, so this was a legit injury, and they used Gallus to, like, write him off, right?
Yeah. So here they're showing that, like, some of these people are... I don't know, understand what it was showing, the tweets with the voice notes. Of, is it Ivar who said he was injured or something? Either way, like, they wrote this story to get him off TV. But there was drama online with Meltzer.
Okay.
And him reporting that it was an angle and then later reporting, like, no, it is legit. And I guess Joe Coffey was on a lovely walk and he was just angry. So he posted. They should have played this instead of the voice note. Just a promo on Dave Meltzer from Joe Coffey. I couldn't understand what he said, but... You could imagine it was pretty funny.
Right.
Yeah. Joe Coffey just like, yeah.
Yeah, and Mabel was the third guy, right? Yeah.
He was. Could have been. So, Gallus are back. He says, it was us. We attacked Ivar. We attacked everyone. And everyone wants to talk, but we are back. And I'm here to prove that I'll become the number one contender. And Obafemi, you're going to find out just how dangerous Joe Coffey is. I do think they mentioned that they attacked Ivar and some people, but they did not attack Noam Dar, is what they said. So we are in the midst of another whodunit.
Who NXT attacked? NXT loves a whodunit.
Yeah,
they?
This one seems like there's a bit of a swerve behind it. Like, I'm imagining that Noam Dar just says, like, I wasn't attacked.
You think he faked it?
Yeah. Whereas Gallus are like, oh, we didn't attack him.
Okay.
So, all right. They're honorable. Mm. We go to the tag title match. Stax and Luca Crucifino taking on Axiom and Frazier. I like how Luca is still figuring out how to walk to the ring, but he's figured out when it's just them, he can do it. But when he's trying to do the slow Italian gangster walk, he hasn't perfected
yeah,
it
yet. Yeah, it's all of them are like, oh, it's just too slow.
Too slow.
To move. I will say, I think I'm not normally a fan of, you know, I don't like Andre Chase wrestling in a sweater, that kind of thing.
Right.
I think Luca's found the way to kind of look semi lawyery, semi wrestlery. He's essentially wearing Andrade's gear from AEW, like the capris, but it works for him, I think,
because he's a lawyer.
Yeah,
right. So Axiom and Frazier start off. They're doing like tag team moves here. Frazier is extremely fast. There's a running elbow to the outside from Stax, where he actually lays Frazier out. He looked like he was trying to elbow him, but instead like clotheslines him to the ground, which was pretty cool. As they come back from break, Luca is stopping Frazier from getting the tag to Axiom. They keep tagging in and out, but Frazier hits the moonsault into the back DDT and then tags in Axiom. They hit Chasing the Dragon, but it's broken up. Luca hits a code breaker for a near fall. It's broken up as well. Then they hit the bada boom bada bing, but it's not as effective because Tony D didn't hit it.
It's
but
true.
It's also broken up by Axiom. And then Frazier up top, but he gets superplexed by Luca. And then this is when No Quarter Catch Crew show up because they're pissed at the family for losing the cup. This allows Frazier to roll up Stax for the 1-2-3. And the match ends where there's like a giant brawl between the family and No Quarter Catch Crew. And as Axiom and Frazier celebrate, the OC, those good brothers, they come in and they beat them down and they hit the Magic Killer and hold up the titles. And they want the titles. So I imagine they're at Battleground.
Pretty good match. I mean, Frazier and Axiom are always deliver when they're in there. They're so quick and just fun to watch. But I am really liking Stax and Crucifino. Obviously, we've seen more of Stax and we've seen how far he's come. And we quite enjoyed the tag team of him and Tony D. But I think Luca's working well with him as well. And I don't mind this act as a tag team. I thought this was pretty fun match. And continuing the stuff with No Quarter Catch Crew, it would have been funny if in the whole like No Quarter Catch Crew family thing where the family's like, nah, we didn't kill him. We just, you know, didn't renew his contract. Would have been fun. But yeah, I thought this was a pretty fun tag.
Yeah, Axiom and Frazier are really fun. And like, you can see why they're popular, but they legit are the fastest dudes in the company. Like Braun is up there too with those crazy running the ropes, but these guys are next level.
Still had no interest with the good brothers, though.
Yeah, like, okay, I know you missed last week. We didn't get them talking this week, but they were really playing up the, like, oh, these Raw and SmackDown people coming into NXT.
Right.
Like, they're really
okay
bringing that up. So, obviously,
they're
it was
the outsiders kind of character. But
yeah.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, I can't get too excited about them. And
no.
I would rather see NXT build up the rest of the tag division. You've got a nice, obviously a good thing with Axiom and Frazier, and we're now like Gallus are obviously back in the mix. I want to see them continue elevating and maybe bring in a few more teams, but Gallus and Anderson I guess will probably be the
battleground
match. But we said that for Stand and Deliver as well.
I think now it's pretty clear.
It's gotta
they
be right
them. Yeah, you know, Luca and I mean, we love Stax is great, but Luca is definitely like stepping up too, and working with guys like this is definitely how you'll do it. So a pretty fun match. We see someone talking to someone here. My spell check corrected someone to Stone, and I'm assuming it's Mr. Stone who's talking to someone. He's basically looks like he's kind of recruiting, and Lexus King shows up and he basically scares this woman away, and he's talking to Stone and he says, Mr. Stone, you're looking to recruit. Well, you need to hitch your wagon to me, to the king. He says, I've pretty much been on this sort of winning streak and undefeated streak. He's lost a whole bunch, but we'll ignore that. He says, you know, I've been walking...
No, he's...
Like, on a winning streak now.
Won the last few weeks, yeah.
He says, well, I've been walking over dead bodies, and, like, if you maybe to work with me, we could have something. And Ava comes in here.
Stone is like, over my dead body, I'll work with you. And that's where
Ava comes in.
Says the line.
Yes. So basically now she says, you know what, Lexus, you have a match tonight and you'll find out who it is when you get in the ring. And then he walks off to get ready. And Stone is like, me, I want to do it. And she goes, no, it's not going to be you, but don't worry, I have someone.
Kayfabe wise, why does Lexus King want Robert Stone as his manager? The track record ain't great. We've got...
He brought up Chelsea, but then Chelsea's
like
not
here. Chelsea's doing okay.
Yeah.
But aside from Chelsea, Aaliyah, Mercedes Martinez, Von Wagner, Frankie Monet. Right?
Wow, never forget.
Am I missing anyone?
Frankie Monet. Quick, what was the dog's name?
Toto. No, that's...
that's Michael Jackson.
That's
no,
Wizard of Oz. I can't remember the dog.
Fancy? Francine? Fuck.
Oh, the little one.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he hasn't had a good track record, and they've also been feuding. So why would Lexus want him to be his manager?
Yeah, kind of weird. Especially, like, they were feuding, like, a few weeks ago, and then his guy left, and he's like, hey, they fired your boy. You want to be my manager? Mm. Yeah, true. But also, why wouldn't you just let Stone fight him? Like...
Well, Ava pretty much said you were shit the other week, so I'm not hiring you. Yeah, continues to book Lexus King, which is baffling.
Yeah. Wait, I'm trying to find this dog. What is the name of that dog? Hold on.
Pookie.
Pookie? I don't know. Tonight's takeover. When was this? Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. That's why. I can't
Let's see if ChatGPT can find out before you.
I have the article open. Frankie? No. I don't know. I can't find it.
It was Frankie Monet, right?
Yeah. I can't find the dog, and it's going to drive me
Presley.
Crazy. Presley! Wow. Presley. I'm more into that than whatever
I wouldn't have got there. I wouldn't got to Presley.
Yeah. I thought the dog's name was Frankie. That's Ty of Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Great. So we go to... Where do we go next? We go to Obafemi comes out, and he's getting ready to join the commentary desk for the next match. When we come back from break, Chase U is backstage. They're upset... And Riley Osborne is very upset and mad at Ridge. And he goes, look, Ridge, you messed up. You cost Thea the match. And Ridge is like, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to stop Fallon from using the chair. And Riley says, I'm sick of your excuses. And Ridge says, well, mistakes happen. Just like last week, Riley, you lost the match. So therefore, like, you know, you've seen that it happens too. And Riley says, you know what, Ridge, you don't belong here. And Chase steps in and says, we'll settle it in the ring next week. And then Duke tries to say something, and Chase is like, not now, Duke! So...
I think we need... Because Ridge isn't wearing the Chase U gear yet, is he? So I think Ridge needs to beat Osborne and then put his shirt on. Be like, you're out of Chase
U. Wow.
I'm Chase U now.
Wow. Warfare. Yeah. Gang warfare.
At least this week he didn't go, oh, she reminds me of my little girl.
Yeah. I was waiting for him to say it. He was just holding back to say it again for whatever reason. But yeah, so Chase U is already imploding here.
Yeah.
This is huge. This is like Wolfpack.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the eventual Duke Ridge match.
Yeah.
Riley Duke, I'm not as into.
Maybe that's what Duke was about to say. He was like, probably like, what if, like, I don't know. Maybe Duke is like, hey, he's a nice guy. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but Chase U. Well, we go to the next match. It is a number one contender match. Wes Lee taking on Joe Coffey versus Josh Briggs. A triple threat, and Obafemi is on commentary. I love Booker T when he talks about Joe Coffey because he's good to the last drop. It's a great catchphrase. There's some craziness in this match with these three, as we kind of expected. I was sad to hear about Ivar's injury, and I hope he's all right, because
I was kind of looking forward to this match.
Because, like, Ivar's been on some run lately. Yeah. We need Ro to come back now.
He's been out a while now.
Yeah.
Hasn't he?
It's wild. So, but I hope Ivar gets better. But here we have Briggs doing, like, a hip toss to Wes into Joe, and then there's like a follow-away slam, drop kick, three-way move here, which was pretty cool. And then Wes hits a tope onto Coffey, onto Briggs, onto the outside, and then goes Sorry, Briggs does that move where he throws you on the outside into the ropes and then clotheslines you.
It's great.
Very Stan Hansen-esque, just crushing him here. Briggs in the ring keeps trying to do different pinning attempts, but only gets two counts. Wes hits another tope to the outside, even crazier. This is where Briggs chokeslams Wes into the corner, chokeslams Joe, and then chokeslams Wes again onto Joe for a near fall. Also great. And then there's Joe who hits a high cross body out the top for a two count. And then goes up top, but Wes hits another tope to Joe this time on the outside. Again, like clearing the ropes even higher. And then back in the ring, the Gallus lads are on the outside taking out Briggs when Joe goes for best of the bells, but it's blocked. The kick is blocked. The headbutt connects. And then when they rolled Briggs in from beating him up, it's because of this headbutt thing that Joe and Wes both fall on top of Briggs. The ref counts the 1, 2, 3, but then realizes that they both pinned Briggs, and therefore they both win the match. Therefore, they're both the number one contenders.
Yeah, Ava confirms later that they're both number one contenders. Fun match. I think it's maybe, I don't know, I've grown to really like Josh Briggs over the years, and especially in this singles North American picture with Obafemi, I thought the standard liver triple threat was possibly the best match on that show. I thought that was so fun, and I thought Josh Briggs definitely offered into that. It's the match, I don't know, I'm not into Joe Coffey, and it does feel a bit of a downgrade considering that it could have been Ivar, Wes, and Femi, which I was kind of looking forward to. I'm sure it'll be good. And I just feel you should have just had a singles match next week. The two, Wes and Joe, go at it, and the winner faces Oba, maybe.
It's kind of weird. Okay, so like they set up with Ivar and then that injury, and then you add Joe, and then they both pin Briggs. So really, it just does Briggs dirty.
Yeah.
When, like, he's been in the storyline.
The match. Yeah.
The guy who's been actually fighting, trying to get this title the whole time. Wes just came back. Obviously, he's got title, you know, claims, but it's kind of weird.
I imagine Oba's pinning Coffey at Battleground, and then you have Wes at
like the next one.
The heat wave event, I guess.
I guess.
Get it?
I just felt like if you're going to go multi-man at the pay-per-view anyways, why wouldn't you put Briggs back in that? Like,
just
Briggs was...
Away.
Briggs helped that last triple threat match.
Yeah.
So when you now do it again?
And that's the thing again, it's we're getting another multi-person match, which maybe Oba needs at this point. Like it hides some of his weaknesses, perhaps.
Sure.
I thought Obafemi sounded really good on commentary, to be honest. I think for someone so new to this, I think he, even on commentary, carried himself really well and has that presence about him.
You know I love Jungle Boy, but he sounded better than Jungle Boy. Commentary.
I was going to say it, but yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Someone who's kind of done it longer than he has.
But
I thought Oba,
he's like
outshone him.
Teetering back and forth between a heel babyface. He's the tweener, right? He's clearly got over, so they're not overly healing him up. But yeah, so triple threat at the pay-per-view.
Yes.
Without Briggs. And I'm like, man, what are we going to do with Jensen? What's going on with Brooks Jensen?
He's drinking a whole lot.
His whole Twitter and social media is he's like drinking and trying to go to wrestling.
Mm.
SmackDown Raw, he said he wasn't allowed in at some place. I don't know what this storyline is with Brooks Jensen, but we hope he's okay.
Yeah.
We're sending his love. He's definitely upgraded from drinking Michelob Ultra, which I'm happy about.
Yes.
But he should still, you know.
Was he on the old fashions, the whiskey?
I don't know.
The bourbon, I think, right?
I don't know. We'd have to ask him what his drink of choice is. Because... Mm. What did we have the other day? Something that was nice. What was... We had some peanut butter whiskey or something.
Oh, Screwball?
Yeah, it was very nice.
Screwball's good.
It's delicious. Brooks Jensen, you come to Toronto this summer, make sure you hit us up.
Yes.
We'll have a drink with you.
We need him on Heatwave. I'll be mad if we don't see Brooks Jensen live in Toronto.
Be pretty pissed.
Come on.
Yeah. We go to Carmen and Natty backstage. They're getting ready. And Carmen says, you know, even though I lost to Shayna, now I have Natty with me. I'm feeling a bit more comfortable. Natty says, don't worry. Don't be so down on yourself. You got this. And with me, we can do it. And I'm the most winningest in the WWE. I got your back. The most winningest in the WWE. We'll get back to that later.
Right.
When Vic brings it up. But most winningest. We'll let that sit.
Most winning. That's a horrible word to say. Winningest.
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 Win it. Winning.
Winningest.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
We see Idris and Malik backstage. Brinley Reese is hyping up, getting ready for her qualifying match. She's doing exercises and always hyper. And they're down on their luck. They're talking about all this bad luck, whether it was the boot last week or the rabbit foot. And she says, guys, are you coming out with me for my match? And they say, no, look.
Like, we'll only bring you bad luck.
We're just so bad luck that you'll lose. And she goes, you're not bad luck. There's no such thing. There's only confidence. And you need that. So I'll be out there, but I understand. Kind of a dick move for them not to come out with her, considering she's been...
No, but they're saying, look, everything we've been doing has gone wrong. So we want you to go out. You can do this on your own. We don't want to bring you down.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't believe in all that mojo.
Right. We see Ava with Obafemi. This is when she says, hey, this is a triple threat. And he's like, yeah, right.
Cool. Yeah, he was like, unimpressed, but sure, okay. I felt bad for him. Like, there was no outright winner in this match. It's normally, you know, the heel interferes and it's like, all right, you're a triple threat.
That's
like no one could actually get the job done, so you're facing both of them.
Well, that's what I mean. That he's teetering whether he's a good guy or bad guy, because really, he's a bit of a bitch when they all call him out. And he's like, nah, I want one. And then now he has to face multiple anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's mad. So really, like, he should have just outright went, I'll face all of you, but...
I
don't know.
Which is what he did for Stand and Deliver, isn't it?
He just changes his mind.
Yeah. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
Getting used to this wrestling.
Yeah. We go to an announcement for next week's NXT.
Okay.
This is a big one.
Right.
Next week on NXT Live, Sexy Red... will be here.
Fuck yeah.
That's right. Sexy Red.
I love Sexy Red.
She tweeted that she's going to show up on NXT, and who knows, she might even RKO someone.
What? Send him to Pound Town?
That's right.
Yeah.
You can, as Vic says here, you can check out her latest single, Get Sexy, by Sexy Red.
Nice.
So I'm still trying to figure out. So she, on social media, like a month or so ago, put out her, like, a video of herself in her car listening to a song of hers where it samples Shawn Michaels' theme song.
Okay.
I've asked on this show, like, oh, is this song out? Some of our listeners and friends, like, oh, yeah, here's the song. When I listen to the song, it doesn't have the Shawn Michaels sample. So is that song out yet, or is this a remix of it? Because it's kind of...
Is that what Get Sexy is? Because he's just a sexy boy.
Maybe. Maybe I just need to listen to it again.
But, yeah.
Either way, Sexy Red is going to be here. I was under the impression she was pregnant, so hopefully that's not the case.
Maybe she faced Tiffany Stratton.
Got kicked in the stomach.
Yeah.
So hopefully this brings some views to NXT. She is popular right now, especially like in like the internet and everything. So all the power to this. I love when my hip-hop world mixes up with wrestling, but we're days away from...
What's your favorite Sexy Red song?
Get Sexy.
Get Sexy?
What's yours?
Pound Town, I already said.
Oh, is that a real song?
Yeah. The one that... I'm out of town, thugging with my rounds.
The one that's like famous, it's the one with Drake, but she's like the singing part on it.
Is that Ski-E?
Ski-E? Now you're just naming off Sexy Red songs? I'll play you some Sexy Red later.
You know, I know my Sexy Red.
Is there a Sexy Blue?
Sexy Blue? She's on AEW.
I was thinking of Blue Kane.
Sure, sexy as well. Isn't that Maven?
Blue Kane?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Anyway, what happened next on NXT?
So, Jada Parker versus Brinley Reese. Yes. Another qualifying match for the ladder match at Battleground. And last week, these two were fighting all over the place, and it's coming to a head right here tonight. Jada runs the rope with Brinley back and forth. There's a really cool, like, crazy front flip from Reese to escape a move. She can do, like, some of those, like, handstands and backflips, like, pretty easily. However, Jada gets her into the corner, and one of her moves is, like, she lays you out in the middle rope and then drops her ass on you. Kind of similar to the Mercedes.
It's like the Sasha double Banks. Knees, isn't it? Except yeah. with the bum.
Yeah. This is a near fall. She then gets a double underhook suplex for a two count as
Look
well.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Reese comes back here. She hits a bunch of body slams. And then the honor roll, or the standing buckshot, if you will, where she front flips to clothesline you. However, Jada kicks out at two, gets up, and hits the teardrop hip check for the 1-2-3. Now, I actually like Jada Parker. I think she, from what we've seen so far in NXT, she's showing a lot of promise and could definitely go somewhere. I mean, she just won this match. She's going to Battleground. However, this teardrop hip check must be one of the, or if not, the worst finishing moves maybe ever in wrestling.
It's terrible. I think, you know, like other wrestlers who have used their rear end for moves. I'm thinking of Toni Storm. Like, it looks like she breaks your neck when Toni hits that running hip attack in the corner. Like, it looks so dangerous and would end it. Whereas this just feels like, hey, you know, I've got a large bum and I'm going to use it, and it looks terrible.
Yeah,
it doesn't look painful at all. It's certainly not a finisher. It's not even a transition move. Like,
we see so many people do this move all the time. Like, yeah, why is this one a finishing move?
It doesn't look good. I kind of feel both Brilliant and Jada offer something that the other doesn't have. I think Jada's really good at the bringing the character and the personality to the match. Even just in kind of submission hold, she's always chatting shit to her opponent and stuff. And I think that's where she shines. But I do think her moveset is kind of a basic and not particularly exciting. Obviously, that can improve. She's new at this. Brinley, the character really doesn't connect with me. It feels like a budget version of a Thea Hale, of many other characters we've seen. But her wrestling, actually, I thought this was the best she's looked in ring. I think some of her transitions and stuff look really nice, but just I'm not into the character. So I think they're both kind of further along in different aspects of their wrestling career so far.
Yeah, I don't think either of them are that bad, and they definitely have something here, but it's just weird that she's won this her matches with a butt attack when we see other people do that in other matches, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's worse than the whoopee cushion. It's this move is worse than the overdrive.
The Mojo Rawley one?
This move is worse than the hyperdrive. That's the hyperdrive.
That's the one.
I'm thinking overdrive. You know how much I hate the overdrive.
I love the overdrive.
No. Yeah. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago when I referenced the overdrive, and Scorpio Sam, friend of the show, who is a legit fighter, said that he would try in a sparring session to hit an overdrive to see what it would do to someone. And he
is that legal?
Yeah. No. Just like, he'll tell them, like, hey, I'm going to try this move.
At some point,
it won't hurt because it doesn't hurt. However, it's still a better move than this teardrop.
It's bad.
Think of the worst wrestling finisher that comes to mind, and it's still not as bad as this one.
I mean, Lexus King's drive-by is pretty awful as well.
But he is the coronation.
The finisher, but as a move, yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree.
And again, I actually like Jada Parker.
Aside from the finish, I did think both steps it up in-ring this week.
We go to Fallon backstage when Jasmine shows up and says, hey, like, I wanted to take out Thea, but I waited till after the match. And Fallon's like, oh, all right. So they're kind of showing a bit of mean girl respect.
Yeah, which is weird because I feel JC had been feuding with Fallon for a while. But JC's out. Jasmine needs someone to be attached to right now. I don't think she's character ready to just be on her own. So why not have her? I think you're going to see her start helping Fallon, and possibly would lead to her actually winning this North American title.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, when JC comes back, you could experiment with JC being a babyface, which we haven't seen. And
True.
You could have JC now chasing the heel Fallon Henley for the title or something.
Yeah. We see the blackout, we hear the snoring, and we hear an alarm clock when we see just the legs, like the pajamas of someone.
The onesie.
We assume it's Wendy Chu. We don't see her face at all here. And then we see slippers getting put on, the alarm clock, as we hear, ugh. So Wendy Chu has awoken.
Yes.
I assume. So hopefully we see her next week, coming soon. She did do a match on Level Up and got a huge reaction, as Sino said last week. So, like, hopefully she gets a big reaction next week as well. So I'm imagining she's on the card next week. But love me some Wendy Chu. But hope the character can sort of evolve, too.
Evolve, absolutely. Yeah.
We see Ava Rain on the phone. Sorry, not Ava Rain. Just Ava. Don't call her that. She gets angry.
We have a Roxanne Perez.
Oh, a video, yes. Roxanne video where she's talking about how she's the best champion in NXT history. She's the most dominant. Very heelish vignette here for Roxanne. And she says, no matter who you put in front of me, I'll beat. And that's when it goes into Ava on the phone. She's like, yeah, I've talked to Nick. I've talked to someone. We're going to get this. We got it. So they got some opponent lined up for Roxanne, and we're going to see who they are next week because they're going to show up to sign the contract. So who can it be?
Yeah, I like part of me is thinking, could Wendy Chu be Roxanne's opponent for Battleground? This vignette felt like one of the last vignettes before you actually bring them back, right? So, but then why... Why has Ava been talking to Nick and Adam? Like, what has Wendy Chu had to do with them? Which kind of implies maybe someone's coming down, or maybe it's a free agent somewhere. I know reports is kind of saying Julia apparently is the intended opponent for Heatwave. She did suffer a wrist injury.
Yeah, just today.
Just this morning. But they're still thinking. I mean, we've seen like. Britt Baker's wrestled with a broken wrist. We've seen people wrestle with broken wrists before. So, and Heatwave is still a couple of months away. So hopefully she'll be okay for that. But this is for the Battleground opponent, right? So I'd rule out Julia.
Mako.
Maybe Mako. Maybe.
But you wouldn't be talking to Nick.
But again, why would you talk to Nick and Adam? So who are the other opponents who maybe haven't done anything?
Yeah, someone from main roster. You need a baby face.
I'm wondering Indy. You've got the history of Indy won her title in the ladder match, and I don't think we've gone back to that match.
Yeah.
Which isn't huge, but she's not doing anything on the main roster right now and would make sense with why she was maybe talking to Nick and Adam.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd kind of be happy with Wendy, or find a way to get Wendy in the ladder match. I think would be good.
Well, it cuts to the next match, and Booker T and Vic are like, oh, who's she talking about? And you, for a second, thought Booker was hyping up this thing, because he's like, oh, here comes the biggest star in TV. He's famous here, New Japan. Sorry, not New Japan. In Japan, across the world, Sambuca.
He said England, Japan, Sambuca.
So you're like, oh, he's talking about Julia. And then I'm like, wait, I think he's talking about Lexus King. And
Sambuca's obviously Italian.
And then he goes, oh, yeah, anywhere in the world, this guy's a TV star. Yeah, I was like, oh.
Oh, it's this fucking guy.
I love how Booker T loves Lexus King. It's like, if you show up to reality wrestling, I'll make sure you get over on NXT TV.
Yeah, it definitely... Booker has some very biased opinions at times, I think. And... hitching your wagon to Lexus King, it's like, it makes me go like, come on, man.
Well, that's what Robert Stone should do. Well, King has a mic and he says, whoever comes out through that curtain will just join the list of all the people who have fallen to the King. And out comes Robert Stone and he points and out comes King's opponent, Dante Chen.
Yeah.
Returning here to NXT. We haven't seen him in quite a while.
No, and this is where you can, I think you have the... advantage of having not Full Sail anymore, the Performance Center, where these people go each and every week and they watch the Level Up tapings, because Dante Chen really hasn't done a whole lot in NXT but has been working Level Up a lot, and this crowd really reacted to this guy coming out.
He got a big reaction from
and I was
people.
Like, really, Dante Chen? Like, they were going crazy for this guy.
Well, he comes out here, so it's King versus Chen. And again, the crowd are really hyping up here. The first ever Singaporean-born superstar here in WWE. There's a few strikes from Dante sending King into a corner. He runs at him for the Stinger Splash, but it's blocked. And then there's like a big clothesline eventually from Dante for a near fall. Booker's going off about Lexus King and how much he loves him. There's then a... What is this move? The crevasse? What's the one... Jinder did.
The Coloss.
Coloss. Sorry. It's like that move. It's we were talking about bad finishers. It's not quite... who does the, like, this move? It's similar and then, like, drops you that way. Was it Percy? No. Fuck. It was on, like, the original NXT game show. It's I've talked it up.
Oh, well, I'm throwing you this way. No, I'm throwing you that
it's
way.
It's so bad. Yeah. This
no,
one
I like,
is,
I
no,
like
this one's
move.
Fine.
It's not good.
This one's fine, but it reminded
it's
me.
It's almost like the... kind of like the South of Heaven chokeslam almost, but like getting you a little higher.
It's kind of like the one and only.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. It's only a near fall here though. And then Mr. Stone kind of gets involved when Lexus is trying to go for the coronation. And it's him trying to go for it, but then he super kicks Dante and then gets countered and then goes for the coronation again. But then that's countered into an inside cradle and Dante picks up the win. And Lexus King is furious, but the PC people here and Stone are very excited about this big win over the King. Not too much of a match. I really can't get into a Lexus King in-ring match, but I guess the showcase here was Dante, and I mean, he won and got a big reaction.
I thought Dante looked good here. I'm still waiting to change my opinion on Lexus King, but he's just not showing me. That running... drive-by move, the forearm to the battle.
Oh, right.
Is it a forearm? Is it a knee? I don't know what. Yeah, he just, like, runs and stops behind
him. He thinks he's Kenny Omega or something.
It looks horrible. But I thought Dante's offense looked pretty fun, pretty exciting here, and would like to see more of him when he moves out of... I guess he's going to be in a bit of a fluke role.
Yeah, I'm sure we get a rematch of this or something. Yeah. King's going to be mad, but... Man, he's so boring. Yeah. He's such a bad wrestler. Like, he's great to hate, and he's got great facial hair to hate on, but really has not improved. It seems like he's been here for a while
now. He's got an earring now. It looked like a clip-on.
Probably.
Yeah.
No, he's probably got a real one. He's a king. As Vic says, Dante turned a king into a jester.
Yes.
Good one. We see Lola Vice and Shayna Baszler backstage. They're getting ready, and Shayna's like, hey, I want business out there, strictly business. And Lola says, oh, I know, out there we're cage fighters, it's all business. And then Lola says, but I'm a Latina, and I like to have fun too. And then kind of smirks, and Shayna just kind of shakes her head. So she's like, hey, she basically was saying, enough of that ass shaking.
Yeah.
We're serious MMA fighters.
And Lola was like, yeah, I am a serious MMA fighter, but still want to shake my bum.
Yeah, come
Nothing
on, Shayna.
Nothing wrong with that.
We have the NXT champion, Trick Williams, comes out, making his way to the ring. Whoop that Trick. He says, appreciate that, but I'm here for some business. Noam Dar, I did not attack you. You attacked me, but I didn't attack you. And I don't care what you say, I didn't do that, because Trick wouldn't do that. Because if Trick were to have beat you up, I would have left you unconscious. I would have left you... within an inch of your life, you would still have a 15-size Jordan logo tattooed on your forehead if I was the one that beat you up, but it wasn't me. Out comes Metaphor without Noam Dar, just Lash, Mensa, and Parker. And they're like, oh, if it wasn't you, Trick, then it was probably your boy Javon. And Mensa says, but I know it was you, because admit it, Trick, you're a lowlife, you're scum. And Lash interrupts Mensa and says, whoa, 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 don't say that about Trick. He didn't do it. I know he didn't do it. And Mensa gets a little upset, like, are you shaking this man's dreads?
Yes.
She laughs there, like, oh. And Trick says, Mensa, why don't you shut up, or I'll come down there and slap those tap dance loafers off your feet. And then out come Gallus music hits. Hey, yeah. Joe Coffey. Who we just
saw. Yeah, I always feel like I'm watching a commercial for a Land Rover
hey,
or something.
It reminds me of...
It is a car commercial, I'm sure.
The beginning of Shoot. Hey, yeah, I want to shoot. But it's... Hey, yeah. Joe says, you're probably wondering why I'm out here, because I just won the qualifying match for the North American title, but you're the NXT champion and I'm out here. Well, you'll find out soon enough. And then out come Gallus from behind, an attack Trick. So really, I don't really find out what happens. But Javon Evans comes out, and then they beat down on him too. They hit the, like, assist pop-up German onto Javon, and then Trick comes back and fights them all off. But eventually, the numbers game, they hit him with the, what do I call it, the Gallus Copter?
Yeah.
The, like, spin-out kick move.
F5 kick yeah. thing.
They lay him out, and then Coffey holds up the NXT title. So this man cannot make up his mind. Does he want the North American title? Mm. Does he want the NXT title? I love Trick. I think he's really good on the mic. In fact, I like Mensa on the mic, too. He yeah. was really good in wrestling. I like all the metaphor people, but... Then Coffey comes out, and then it's just muddying the, like, story of something that's honestly not a good story right now of, like, this attacking thing. So,
do you, like,
it made
okay,
it worse.
You think Noam did it himself?
Yeah.
Do you think it's to try and turn Lash off of Trick?
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, yeah, Trick yeah. did this to me, yeah. and to get her back on side.
So now, like, Joe is like, oh, yeah, I did take out Noam, therefore I should be the champion. So Noam's got to come out and be like, whoa, you didn't attack me because I did it myself. No one attacked me. I mean, yeah. That's what they're going with.
I guess so.
Yeah. Because, like, it was just too much Gallus. He already won the match earlier. Why yeah, is he moving up to this guy?
Is it the same Coffee going for this?
Yeah, it's Joe.
So it's just Joe going for all of them?
Yeah.
Wolfgang crossing his arms.
They all crossed their arms.
They love crossing their arms, them Gallus boys.
Look, they helped train The Rock, okay?
Yeah. So fuck it, give him all the gold. Is that where we're at now?
Well, The Rock didn't give him
Sean's
any.
Sean's like, I'm so, apparently it's in your contract, you gotta win everything now.
The Rock says he did a good job.
Yeah.
Did you see, though, I don't remember if it was with you or with Cena last week, that The Rock gave them all a bottle of Terramana, but he didn't give them Reposado. I was like, dude.
Oh, gave the...
Dude.
What, gave them the...
The white one. The shit one.
Don't give the black
For anyone out there who's like, oh, I tried The Rock's tequila, it's shit. It's like, you've probably tried the white one, which is the lowest tier of them. And I don't really like white tequila.
No, I tend not. I don't mind... Casamigos Blanco is nice.
Yeah.
It's more vanilla-y.
But they posted...
But the Añejo or the Reposado
They posted their photo like, hey, Dwayne, thanks for like... Because he sent them each like, hey, thanks for, you know, training me and all that stuff. But I looked at the bottle, I'm like, this bastard.
Come on. I know it's his tequila, but you'd think you'd give him like a real nice bottle of scotch, right?
Yeah. True. So... We could be seeing Trick versus Joe Coffey in Battlegrounds.
All right.
Possibly. I don't know why or how, but shout out the Gallus lads, though. I'm happy they're back.
Sure.
With this twisted mustache. He's like Captain Hook. Scottish Captain Hook here. Is Captain Hook like British
or
Scottish?
What's this?
How do people do that? How do I do that?
You just,
like, it's,
you need to grow
wax?
Your mustache more and then a little bit of wax.
Wow.
Yeah, come on.
It's very, very nice. We see Mr. Stone backstage with Dante Chen. He says, you did great out there. Great job. When Ava comes and says, you really did do a good job. You got King. You showed him a lesson. He says, thank you, Ava. I appreciate it. And they say he's got a road ahead of him here in NXT. So maybe more wins here. We get the graphic for it next week on NXT. Roxanne's opponent will be revealed. We have Tatum Paxley taking on Meechan. And we have Kalani Jordan taking on Ren St. Clair. Both of those are qualifying matches. And then Trick and Javon taking on not Joe Coffey, but...
Mark and Wolfgang?
Mark and Wolfgang.
Okay.
And then in the real main event next week, Sexy Red might RKO someone.
Yeah, so who's she facing at Battleground?
Roxanne? I'm your opponent.
Fuck it. At the apex.
The song she's famous for, right? The one with Drake is Shake That Ass. Shake That... Literally, the lyrics are Shake That Ass. So maybe she could work with Lola. Really.
Yeah, play Lola out.
Yeah. Shake That Ass.
Love it.
We go to our main events. It is two Canadian blondes, Carmen Petrovic and Natalia Neidhart, taking on Shayna Baszler and Lola Vice, the two cage fighters. I liked this entrance with Shayna and Lola coming out in their gis.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking like they're ready for a real fight in the octagon. And they come out here looking mean when Carmen and Natty got some matching gear. Match starts off with Carmen and Shayna kind of grappling back and forth when they make a tag and they're trying to both take out Carmen. When Natty comes in and Carmen and Natty both hit a double Natty by Nature clothesline. We then have Carmen in the ring, but Shayna keeps trying to stop her from tagging back out. There's a suplex for a near fall. And then finally, Natty gets tagged in here. She once again hits the natty by nature, this time on Lola for a near fall. But then back and forth, there's like inside roll-ups for two counts. Lola's in the ring with Natty and hits the spinning back fist. But then, I think this was to Carmen. But then that was broken up for a two count. And then hits a roundhouse to Natty right in the head, drops her. And then Lola grabs her legs, sets up Natty for the sharpshooter. But before she does, you know what she does. She shakes that ass. She twerks it before putting Natty into the sharpshooter. But then eventually this is where Natty gets out of it. And like they're fighting back and forth. This is where Carmen jumps with a crossbody but gets caught and transitioned by Shayna into the Karafuda clutch. I thought this was pretty clutch, dare I say.
Yeah, like the high cross into it. Yeah,
it looked real nice. Really nice. Eventually, though, they send Shayna out. And then Natty picks up Lola. Carmen runs the ropes. And with Natalya Neidhart holding Lola Vice up, Carmen hits her with the heart attack for the 1-2-3. And this is the win with Carmen and Natty getting the victory over the cage fighters here. And they celebrate. They leave the ring. They're so happy. Blonde and Canadian. And then Lola is just like, I got beat. And Shayna goes in the ring and she's kind of like, and she goes almost to like console her and help her. But when she picks up Lola, Lola attacks her, beats her up, and shakes her ass.
Yeah.
And then goes to leave the ring, but Shayna rises up almost like a zombie.
It was kind of the Undertaker Boneyard.
Yeah.
AJ style spot. Like just Keith rising Lee almost. Behind. Yeah, yeah. Pretty funny.
Shows up, grabs as she's shaking her ass. I'm sure she was. Shayna grabs her, puts her in the Karafuda clutch. They're brawling now. It's a huge pull apart. Ava runs out and says, "You two want to fight, huh? Say less. Then how about you fight at NXT Battleground?" And they're still trying to fight and scrapping each other. And Shayna grabs the mic and says, "NXT Battleground? How about NXT Underground?"
Yeah.
And Ava says, "Sure." So at Battleground, it will be Shayna Baszler versus Lola Vice in an NXT Underground match.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Absolutely. I've enjoyed all the Underground matches we've had so far. So, yeah, pretty. I think would be good.
Yeah,
quite enjoyed the match. It was kind of, you know, a bit of a quick main event as you normally get with NXT. But I'm really liking both Carmen and Lola. I think they're really coming on, and they're both showing quite a bit of personality as well. And yeah, I'm all for Shayna in a kind of Bloodsport style match with Lola. I think it could be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that match because the last one was really entertaining, and I thought they did a good job. Lola Vice is someone to watch. Again, like, she will be a big deal on the WWE main roster. She's got the look, she's got the talent, she shakes her ass, dare I say. Like, she's literally got a little bit for everyone, but she is, like, so stepped up. I love the match with Natty just a few weeks ago, but I thought this was good, too. I'd say this week of wrestling-wise, there wasn't anything on this week that was, like, necessarily, you know, blow me away. It was either between this or the triple threat. That was probably my match of the night. The tag match was all right, too.
Tag was fun as well.
This wasn't my favorite episode of NXT, but this was a taped episode, and that seems to be the...
It was in the middle for me. Yeah. Nothing particularly, like, exciting, or I guess apart from this, nothing really I felt progressed that much. But I didn't think the wrestling was too bad this week, and it moved along quickly enough. But did they say that Natalya has had the most...
We forgot to bring this up. Vic Joseph mentions that Natalya is a Guinness World Record holder.
Okay.
And I remember she posted about this just recently, so I had to look this up. Natalya, or I think it was last year that this happened. Natalya received 6 Guinness World Record certificates. And the records include most WWE matches for a female competitor with... This was last year, so I think... It's even been changed, and she's probably beaten her own record with over 1,500 matches. Most WWE wins with 663. Again, that's probably gone up. Most PLE appearances with 75. Again, that's probably gone up.
For women or for women. Anyone? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, I think she may have Most WWE Raw matches with 174. No, someone's got to have more than that. So if, I think it's women's. That's the Guinness World Record.
Must be, I would think.
But still, that's pretty damn impressive. Like, wow. So
I'm trying to work out who the men's is. I would guess at Randy.
Cena? I don't know.
Randy's like still going.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a few injuries, but
yeah,
he started just before Cena, I think. And I'm trying to, ChatGPT wasn't, I asked that, but it's back from 2018, which said Kane.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that now.
Kane is, looking at cage match, it looks like, Natalia, it looks like currently 1,568 matches.
That's crazy.
Randy Orton, 2,380.
Wow.
Actually more than that. This is...
not dated.
Yeah, like almost 2,400. Kane is still the most by the looks of it. Kane with almost 2,700.
I mean, so she's got all these for female, women's, right? And that's impressive. I mean, she's been wrestling for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure I was at the SmackDown in London. That was her debut on TV. And that was like 2007.
Well, yeah, I think she's been in the company a long time. She's never really had a major injury that I can think of where she's been out for a long time.
Right.
She's definitely been featured at times and less featured. But if you think, even if not doing stuff on Raw and SmackDown, she'd have been doing the house shows and all that. So, yeah, kind of makes sense, I guess.
Crazy.
I actually can't think of a woman who'd have anywhere close to hers, to be honest.
The winningest.
And the winningest, that I'm not sure about.
The boat.
Sure.
Fuck yeah, Natalia Neidhart. There you go. So, Natty, I didn't really like this episode, but like you said, it didn't necessarily annoy me or anything. Mm. It was all right for a taped episode. But it looks like next week should be pretty good and some build-up. We're going to see who the opponent is for Roxanne. We're going to have Sexy Red. We're going to have some wrestling. It should be in all right. And Battleground should be all right. But we're in this weird phase of NXT. It's like we lost everyone. So they got to rebuild up. But like if we're building up people like Lola Vice, I think we're in for some good stuff in NXT. And Javon Evans is someone like they're clearly putting him with the champion pretty early here in a tag match next week. So some good stuff.
We have a piece of feedback on the Facebook group. Go follow our Poison Rana Facebook page and Facebook group if you haven't already. And it's from Magan, who says, Trick Williams is going through it. Accusations, new threats, and in the middle of it is Lash Legend being in complete denial. Those Gallus boys are a nasty string attached. In an NXT first, not one, not two, but three women's matches are set for Battleground. That's a pretty big deal. I'd want to see Kairi Sane face Roxy. Okay, Lola Vice and Shayna Baszler is going underground is in the Apex makes perfect sense, and it could be what that Ronda match should have been. I bet Lola is going to be up to the task. The triple threat was good. Side note, I saw the Mari Gold main event twice yesterday. I do hope Julia recovers from that forearm fracture.
Yes, he's referring to the Rossi...
Rossi Agawa promotion.
Yeah, that whole...
So he's picking Kairi to face Roxanne.
Okay, yeah. Kairi's been not the greatest since coming back, to be honest. But still, maybe that could like light a fire and be something good. That's a good prediction. I really... No real answer can like make it. I can't think of anything else. Like Asuka?
I mean, the only reason why really she talked to Nick and Adam is for one of the tag champs, which they ain't going to do that.
Right.
But they're the only two women that like float between Raw and SmackDown.
Right,
but.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Thank you, Megan. And thank you all for listening. There was our thoughts on tonight's episode of NXT, and we'll be back next Tuesday with a jam-packed edition of NXT and a jam-packed edition of Up Next, because like I said, next Tuesday when we go live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time, we will be starting off the show by chatting about King and Queen of the Ring and AEW Double or Nothing. And then we'll talk about NXT.
Yes.
So it's going to be a big one next Tuesday. So come out and hang with us next Tuesday and let us know what you think about the wrestling, all the wrestling, because it never, ever stops. Never, ever stops.
Never,
there's always
ever.
Wrestling going on. So appreciate everyone out there listening and supporting us. Again, you can support us by going to patreon.com/poisonrana. $5 for a whole month's access of hundreds of different podcasts and wrestling and movie reviews that we have on there, including What's Next, including retro movie reviews, pay-per-view reviews, everything. And then if you want to support your favorite small-time independent podcasters, you can chop-tees.com/poisonrana. Get yourself a nice snapback Poison Rana. Get the frog hats. Join the club.
Get our spring, summer t-shirts.
That's right.
You can see on our stream right now.
That's right. Nice. All the stuff. The spring drop, the hats, the shirts. If you still want to buy a hoodie, maybe it's cold where you are, do it. Do it.
Yeah.
That's how you
buy
can support
everything.
Us. Exactly.
Give us all your money.
And check out, of course, postwrestling.com for everything else that John and Wei and the whole team are doing. But I think that's it.
Yes.
I think that is it. At Poison Rana Pod on X and Twitter or Instagram. I'll still never get it right.
No.
Still never.
It's Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter and Instagram at Poison Rana Pod. And I myself, Braden Harrington. You can find me at The Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And don't shake my man's dreads.
Ahoy! Wait, I think he said she was shaking his dreads. As yes. In they would, you know.
Yeah, so don't shake. I don't want to shake yours, and you don't shake mine.
I wasn't planning on it.